Welcome to The Will Evans Show, a podcast that is meant to teach you everything you did not learn in school. Today we are going to be talking about Romans 12:2, and then I'm going to coach you up. Let's go. So if this is your first time tuning in, you have tuned into a conversation where I'm going to break down for you, ultimately, how to win with your money, which then leads you to win in life. So this show is for you, and I'm glad to have you a part of this tribe. It's a crazy ride, but a ride that is well worth it if you can just lock in with me for the next few minutes. You can always find me on social media at I'm Will Evans. That's I am Will Evans. It's also always in the show notes. You can find all my socials on there. And today we're going to be talking about Romans 12:2. So what I love about this podcast, one, it's my podcast, so I get to talk about whatever I want. But what I love to talk about on this podcast is how the Bible outlines financial principles. Everywhere I look throughout scripture, I can relate this back to money. That's no different than Romans 12:2 as well. It says, "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." And again, that's Romans 12:2. I'm going to read it one more time. "Do not be conformed to this age." Some translations will say, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." So a little context of Romans 12 is Paul starts to outline some practical ways to live as a Christian. So when we look at this through the lens of money and in the context of seeking financial freedom and financial stewardship, this verse talks about the need for you to resist conforming to the world's patterns or the excessive consumerism and this debt-driven world and lifestyle that's all around us. So that's the car payments, that's the airline miles, that's the student loans. It's all this stuff that you buy that you can't afford, stuff that you do not have money for and that you buy in order to post on Instagram. So this verse should encourage you to transform yourself and you should start to think about this through the lens of financial freedom, financial stewardship. So in doing this, when you start to transform yourself and start to renew your mind, to change your mindset, you start to seek God's will for your life, but also when it comes to your money as well. So this involves, like I was just saying, renewing your mindset and prioritizing wise stewardship. And then you're discerning God's good and perfect will for your life, but also for your financial decisions. So often I hear people say that the Bible has nothing to say about money, or they say that the Bible doesn't teach about money, or they say that they'll misinterpret the verse in 1 Timothy, and they'll say, that money is the root of all evil, but it actually says the love of money is the root of all evil. So in that verse, it gives you a money principle that you cannot love money. But all throughout scripture, it talks about debt, it talks about wealth, talks about budgeting, talks about all this stuff, and it outlines easy and simple principles to follow. And if you can do that, I can assure you that you will start to take control of your money. It will no longer have control over you, and you will start to have true financial freedom, financial peace. And so the Bible, if you look at scripture through the lens of money, through the lens of money management, you start to see that the Bible has a lot to say about it. And so in Romans 12, 2, what we're talking about today, you know, Paul's talking about being transformed. So the transformation Paul speaks of, this involves you making a change in your life. And not just a change, but a radical change in your mindset and your perspective. So it's this renewal of the mind, and which is a process which us as believers are continually being sanctified and conformed to the image of Christ. So that means we are seeking to look more like Christ. So when someone looks at us, they see Christ through us. We are a reflection of Christ. So through this transformation, you are able to start to discern and understand the will of God, and you understand what it says in Romans 12, 2. You start to understand what is good, pleasing, and perfect when it comes to the will of God. So overall, what it says in Romans 12, 2, it talks about the importance of a spiritual renewal and transformation in our life. But when that happens, you are then empowered to live in God's will and the purpose He has for your life. So now let's take that and let's look at it like we're talking about through the lens of money, through the lens of money management and financial stewardship. This verse talks about the need for you as a believer, for you as a person, to align your financial decisions with God's principles and values. So rather than looking at what the world says to do with your money, you need to look at what Scripture says about money. So rather than conforming to the world's materialistic mindset, you go to Scripture and say, hey, what does the Bible say? So how do we practically live out Romans 12, 2 when it comes to our money? Well, the first thing, you have to renew your mindset. So what does that look like? You have to take time to reflect on your current beliefs, what you believe about money, your attitude towards money, and you have to identify where the world you've started to conform to the world's patterns of thinking, or where the world may be influencing your financial decisions. And so this is, hey, it may be Instagram, but it may be you're listening to your broke uncle, your broke brother-in-law, and you cannot do that anymore. So you have to commit to renewing your mindset by saturating yourself in God's word, and also surrounding yourself with people that are a positive influence in your life and that align with what Scripture talks about when it comes to stewardship, contentment, generosity, debt. You will become the average 5 people you spend the most time with. So what that means is, you need to choose your friends very wisely. If you're always hanging out with broke people, you're probably going to be broke with them. If you start to hang out with people that are doing well with their money, they're managing their money well, you will most likely be like them, because you will become the average 5 people you spend the most time with. Second thing, you have to resist conformity to the world. So you have to look at your financial habits, your lifestyle, your choices, and you have to ensure that they align with what Scripture says about money, rather than what society tells you, what Instagram tells you, what TikTok tells you, what the culture tells you. Because our culture only relies on debt. So it relies on debt. It's a huge consumerism culture, and it's a very materialistic culture, and it only makes you look good on Instagram. You have to seek contentment in God's provision rather than constantly striving for more. If you can be content with what you have, that in of itself is one of the biggest disciplines you can develop that will lead you to become wealthy and lead you to start to win with your money. Because you're not looking at what other people have. You are just content with what you have and where you are. The next thing you have to do is you have to seek transformation through the Holy Spirit. So what you have been doing has not been working. So you need to lean into the Spirit. You have to invite the Spirit to transform your heart and your mind. And when you do that, you will start to make more wise and faithful decisions when it comes to your money. You have to have a deeper relationship with the Lord. And hey, and that's through prayer, meditation, relying on His guidance in all aspects of not just your life, but your financial decisions. One of the next thing, which is one of the biggest things that I love love to talk about when it comes to financial stewardship, is you have to have discernment when it comes to your money. You have to develop a habit of discernment by weighing financial choices about what the Bible says. And if you don't know where to find it or what the Bible says, seek wise counsel. It always says in Proverbs to seek wise counsel, whether that's from a spiritual mentor or maybe a coach. You seek wise counsel and have discernment when it comes to your money. The next thing is you actually have to submit to the plan. You have to take practical steps toward financial freedom. So what does that look like? You have to create a budget. Why do we create a budget? Because in Luke it says, who wouldn't count the cost? Because then it goes on to say that they will laugh at you because you did not count the cost and you ran out of money. Talks about budgeting. Count the cost. Plan the month before on what you're going to spend. So you're creating a budget. You are prioritizing paying off debt. We're following the baby steps. I've talked about the baby steps multiple times on this show. You are doing all of this by creating a budget, paying off debt, and then you seek to honor God with your resources, because you will achieve financial freedom from the bondage that you have been in. Don't let the weight of debt hold you down anymore. It is time for you to change your family tree. It is time for you to break that chain of debt and say, I'm never going to borrow another dollar. It is time for you to do that. If everything I've been saying today sounds, you're saying, hey, that sounds great. It is time for you to make a decision, to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm never going to borrow another dollar. And then when you do this, once you follow this plan and this lifestyle and start to live out Romans 12:2, you start to embrace a life of generosity and wise stewardship. You start to use your money and your finances, which is the resources the Lord has given you to manage. You use that to be a blessing to others and to impact the kingdom for kingdom purposes. Giving is the most fun you can have with money. But you cannot impact the kingdom like you want to until you start to live out Romans 12:2 and what we've talked about today about renewing your mind. We talked about having a better mindset, resisting conforming to the world, seeking transformation, having discernment when it comes to your money, and then taking steps towards financial freedom. Once you do all that, you start to live out Romans 12:2 when it comes to your money. And then you will start to be able to be a blessing, and you'll be able to start to impact the kingdom for kingdom purposes. This is the Will Evans Show. Hey guys, it's Will. I know this show is all about what you didn't learn in school, but for some of you, you need a little more personalized help, and that's what Evans Financial Coaching is. I specialize in helping people pay off debt and build wealth. If this is you, I've put my contact info in the show notes, so please reach out. I'm here to help you. Evans Financial Coaching, creating paths to financial freedom. Welcome back to the Will Evans Show. We've been talking about Romans 12:2, and not conforming to the world. And if you're new to this show, we always take a question at the end of the show because that's the heartbeat of the show. If I'm not answering your questions, what's the point of doing this? Because my heart is for you, the listener, to answer your questions. And so I came across this question, and it wasn't sent to me, but I thought it was a great question, and I wanted to answer it. So the question is, I'm not here yet, but I was curious on your guys' opinion. In baby step 5, I don't think I'll have a lot to contribute to my kids' college savings, given the fact that I'm currently paying child support. I'm not upset about paying child support as I love my kids dearly, but it does take a good portion of my take-home pay. My question is, should I consider that the child support fulfills baby step 5 and move on to baby step 6, or try to find more money for baby step 5? I tend to lean toward the second option, but I was hoping to get some opinions with the reason for those opinions. So here is my take on this. One, when it comes to baby step 5, and for those of you that are new, baby step 5 is where you are saving for your kids' college. When it comes to baby step 5, you got to have I need to have the whole picture. Hey, is your kid a senior in high school or are they 10 years old? That would change my answer, because when it comes to baby step 5, what it looks like is you sitting down with your kid and being real with them, letting them know what's going on. You do not have to pay for your kid's school. What you need to do is you need to outline the best way for them to go to school debt free. Applying for as many scholarships as possible, working, saving money, going to an in-state school that's not through the roof. When you go to an in-state school, you're literally paying way less than if you go right over the state lines, and you are getting the same thing. Nobody has ever asked you where you went to school, or you've never asked your doctor, hey, where'd you go to school? No, you go to the doctor, and you never ask them that. It doesn't matter where you go to school. So when it comes to baby step 5, saving for kids' college, the biggest thing, sitting your kid down, being real with them and saying, hey, here's the situation I'm in. I'm not able to save up as much for your college, but I want to help you go to school debt-free. And there are other ways to help other than giving money. It's the same thing when we talk about giving in the church. Giving in the church is not always you giving your money. Yes, we're called the tithe, but you know, giving is not all about how much money you can give. It's also about offering up your time. So with your kid, saying, hey, I want to help you go to school debt-free. And what that looks like is, hey, we're going to go to an in-state school, maybe community college, then a four-year university to finish it out. We're going to apply for as many scholarships as possible. I'm going to send you scholarships. You're going to apply for them. And when you do that, that is better than you trying to it's always good to help your kid out, but it's also better to teach them, hey, here's the situation we're in, and being real with them. You know, you don't always have to have the right answer or the best answer. Just be real with them. And, you know, these are the cards that you're dealt. And hey, if you can find a better job that pays more, pick up a side job to help your kid go to college debt-free, that's great. I'm not saying not to do that. But what I'm saying is it's better to teach them in the form of, hey, I'm going to be real with you. Here's the situation me and your mom are in. I'm not able to provide and pay for your college, but I'm going to help you get through college debt-free. And that's what I would recommend. I would recommend you being real with your kid and saying, hey, these are the steps to go to college debt-free. Whether or not I help you financially or not, here's what you have to do. As always, it's a huge thanks to Ben for making this show run. And remember, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This is The Will Evans Show.